Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
I'm honored to have a true legend in Sacramento. Jason Ross, program director, 1140 KHTK Sacramento. You can find him at Jason Ross 1140. Of course, his work with the Sacramento Kings, Sac State football play-by-play. Of course, old school groupies go back to independent baseball, the Crushers of Sonoma.
And that was not me. I'll take that credit. You had me as the – where did you get that? That's
Dave,
great.
Dave Cox said that you did the Sonoma Crushers.
No. I wish I had. That would have been awesome. I wish I could add that to my resume.
Oh, my God. Our producer for the ESPN Plus telecast, Dave Cox, said in our research that you did the play-by-play for the Sonoma Crushers, totally screwing up this open. Anyway, play-by-play for the XFL, the San Francisco Demons, WNBA, the Monarchs, of course, longtime radio play-by-play for Sacramento State football, and as an athlete at one time, bragging to have averaged a triple single. True?
I can back that. I can support that, Dave. And anybody that needed someone to get about a rebound, an assist, I could kick in 1-3 one night. Yeah, no double figures in any stat. I could do that.
27 years, Jason, in this market, and it's such a transient profession anyway, guys moving all over the place. First of all, how rewarding is it for you to be able to be in one place for so long, in a place that's so close to you?
Yeah, you know, it's weird, Dave. I don't know. I didn't realize for the longest time that that's kind of unique. And obviously, you and I have done this a long time in different circles. You realize everybody's path is different. I don't know why this was mine to be in the same spot this long. I don't know what that says. Maybe others haven't coveted me, but at least here, they've been appreciative enough of what I've done. So I haven't been aggressive in looking other places, but I've been happy and content. There's something about being happy and very happy with my multiple jobs at the station. With the Kings and with Sac State. So, you know, at times maybe I've looked otherwhere, but I don't know that I'd have a better setup than I have right now.
Just the stability of keeping your family together, not bouncing around the country, you know, switching schools, that kind of thing. That's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And it was the odd part of it is I grew up in Southern California. When I came up to Northern California to go to school to UC Davis, I remember one of my first couple of weeks in, I said, oh, I'm here 4 years and I'm gone. There's no way I'm staying in Northern California. And here I am 30 years later. I'd never moved again. I fell in love with kind of the pace of Northern California, certainly the pace at that time of UC Davis. Then I've been in Sacramento for seemingly a long, long time and very happy with the family here. And this is my life.
Jason, the biggest story in sports right now is the whole John Gruden controversy, leaving the Raiders following the revelation of his controversial emails. And we were talking off air about some other stuff. Is there any position for him anywhere again? Will this guy ever work again?
I guess you never say never, but that's a risk, right? This is, I think a lot of people can recover from one thing, maybe two things, but John Gruden, man, these emails that have come out, he hit everything, Dave. I mean, he hit sex, he hit race, he hit class, he hit the league, he hit commissioner, he hit safety, cheerleaders. Like, he went across the board and offended so many people. Logically, I don't think he coaches, but could he be an announcer again? If he was good at that, maybe someone does that. But I think he needs to cool his jets, kind of go away for a little bit and evaluate things. But I thought he had about as much job security as anybody in the NFL could have. A 10-year deal with the Raiders. How is he ever going to lose that job based on performance? I didn't think he could. Maybe until like year 8 or year 9, it obviously is more of a character thing and emails that got him.
This guy was the face of the franchise, even more so than any player on the team.
100%. There was no, and I can't, you know, you could argue maybe Bill Belichick, but the list is short of coaches that had that kind of impact that were faces of a franchise. And yeah, it's definitely Gruden. I mean, I think it was Al Davis. Mark Davis hasn't had the same kind of zip amongst the nation that Al did, but still Gruden, they were in a quest to get him for so many years. They got him, and the 10-year deal was unprecedented. And he was, yeah, you're right. He was the face of the team.
The voice of Jason Ross, Sports 1140 KHTK Sacramento. I want to play something for you. This is Shannon Sharp from the Undisputed Fox Sports 1, essentially saying that Gruden is a scapegoat for an even bigger issue in this controversy.
We know, see, because what they're trying to do is say John Gruden is an isolated incident. Yep. And the NFLPA said, nah, this is the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. Because, Skip, it's one thing for a coach to talk like this.
Yep.
What if owners are communicating and saying things of this nature? Okay. Now we got a whole different ball game. And I think the NFL might be trying to protect, because you sacrificed John Gruden. Skip, what he said was wrong, and he probably
should have.
But Skip, he wasn't the point of emphasis in your investigation.
Yep.
How he getting caught up?
When his voice goes like that, you know he means it. How he get caught up? What do you say to that, Jason? I mean, the NFLPA requested the release of 650,000 emails, and this is about the Washington football team, and yet John Gruden's the one to lose his job.
Yeah, I think this is the NFL's pound of flesh. They got Gruden. And again, he should. What Gruden did is there's no excuse for it. I totally understand it. But I agree 100% with Shannon Sharp, because you wonder what else have they found. This all was originated about the Washington football team and really Dan Snyder. So we know the owners are out to protect themselves. So if it's, hey, look over here, John Gruden was a bad guy, I think he's just one tree in the forest. I mean, I think there's a lot of other stuff going on. I think the public, and I know the Players Association, is demanding to know what else has been found in those investigations. And we know it, Dave. I mean, the majority of ownership in the NFL is rich white males that I think have had a history of having situations like this. So they're out to protect themselves. I think Gruden's the pound of flesh they got, and deservedly so. But it feels like there's way more to this that I hope gets uncovered.
Do you think it'll take something like a Bob Woodward investigation, that kind of a book, to have all those emails released before, you know, more heads roll or there's more consequences?
Yeah, probably more power than you and I. Do you think we could do it? Could we like go sleuth and uncover all these emails and come up with a story of a lifetime?
I'm just trying to find out who's injured for sack stating it's Montana. So that's about as deep as I can go.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't even been able to crack that code either. But yeah, you're right. It's going to take someone. And there, I think this – also, with too many people in the media speaking out on it, I think there'll be a lot of public pressure to uncover more. So it does feel like this could be the tip of the iceberg.
Hey, you have been, of course, in that market for so long. And there's a local guy out of Rockland, Logan Webb, making the start for the Giants in Game 5 against the Dodgers. Who is it that you've seen in your years over there that, you know, maybe, gosh, I'm so fired up that this local guy has made it big?
I feel like there's just been some really cool connections. Like I go back and never had it like the greatest NBA career. This is going to go way back, but Michael Yogi Stewart was at Kennedy High, but started as a Kings ball boy way back when, and then great career at Cal and played for the Kings. I mean, it just felt like such a storybook career for him, and then ultimately got a big contract, went elsewhere. That's one, and that's dating myself because that's a long time ago. But right now, currently, Logan Webb, there's not a better sports story going with Dodgers Giants. I think we all felt it needed to go 5. It's going 5. And the hard part about this, Dave, is whoever loses will feel like they're not the better team. But that, I mean, who's better? I can't say the Giants are better. I can't say the Dodgers are better. This is as even as it gets. And sadly, it's probably going to be someone made a mistake in game 5. Like, was it a base running error, an error, a bad pitch? And you go, that's the difference of who's playing the Braves. It's just so razor thin. And if Webb can have the same kind of game that he did in game 1, oh my gosh, he's already getting to legendary status. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be remembered for decades. So this is a huge game 5.
Did you see him play quarterback for Rockland?
I never did. I wish I had. And everybody talks about what of a stud athlete he was overall, collectively. So, seems to have the right approach, the right mentality, and I know he's going to have a bunch of crazy, crazy fans behind him. By all accounts, I've known several people that went to game 1, said it was the loudest atmosphere, better than the World Series, better than wild card games, elimination games. I just can't imagine what game 5 will be like for Logan Webb and for the fans in San Francisco.
We actually did a game with him playing quarterback against Del Oro, and the Golden Eagles were really good under Casey Taylor. And it's pretty amazing now watching him being thrown into the fire with everything on the line.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's fantastic. I love that, especially when you see a guy that early on and you think they might be something, but you don't know what. And then here, yeah, I mean, could be one of the biggest names in sports if it all goes right for him.
In the game 4 loss, the Giants used 8 pitchers. And the skipper, Gabe Kaplan, was asked the status of his staff, the arms available going into Game 5.
I think everybody's going to be up. It was nice that although Rodgers pitched after a longer outing yesterday, he didn't throw a ton of pitches. Jake McGee didn't throw a ton of pitches. Zach Littell probably could have gone out there and pitched a little bit more, but we also wanted to preserve him. Obviously, as good as he looked, it'd be nice to have him available. I think we're going to be in really good shape with our bullpen. I anticipate that everybody will be up and ready to pitch.
Two teams with 109 wins going at it, a one-game brawl for it all in Game 5. Couldn't ask for anything more.
No, I mean, the only thing we could ask for is if this was the next round NLCS in 7 games, because I think it would get there too. But Bible decided. And then you think about if it does go the Giants' way, it'll depend on what we see in Game 5, but I'll think about Game 3. I mean, the Giants got 3 hits. They only got 3 hits off Scherzer, off the total collection of Dodgers pitchers that night. But the home run by Longoria, the one that doesn't go out by Gavin Lux, the play by Crawford, that to me has been the swing game of the series. Giants owned Game 1, Dodgers owned Game 2. Dodgers felt like they should have won 15 runs in Game 4, but they didn't. They won. So the swing game has been Game 3, and the Giants got it. That's huge. Now it's Game 5, and it just, there's been a few guys, and this happens a lot, Dave, in the postseason, that aren't hitting as well as we're accustomed to for the Giants. But we got the best pitching going on right now. It's a small sample size. So maybe some of those fringe guys like Yastrzemski hasn't hit that well. Wade hasn't hit that well. I trust that Posey and Crawford and those guys will get good at bats. It's just, can some of those other guys that who have come through for the Giants all season long come through in a fifth game?
What do you think of the one-game wild card? You played the whole season, 162 games, to get to one game, kind of a cruel way to end the season if you lose.
I don't like it. I like it as a fan for the drama of it. It feels like the Game 7, that kind of scenario. But it's such a long season, and to have one. I'm a Yankee fan. They lost to the Red Sox. I didn't think the Red Sox would beat the Rays, but you kind of get through it, and you just – baseball's a weird sport like that. I think if they played 3, generally the better team wins, but that's not foolproof either. I think 3 would be better, but I'm glad that we have more teams in. There's too many games to not have like it used to be. What was the year, 93, when the Giants won 103 and didn't even get in the postseason? So I'm glad we at least have the wild card. I just wish it was a few more games.
Jason Ross with us, of course, a longtime association with the Sacramento Kings. There's a rookie. I love his game. Davion Mitchell out of Baylor had 20 the other night in the win over Portland. The season gets started on October 20th in Portland, I believe. And will this be the year that Monty McNair's team ends the drought and the Kings do make the playoffs?
Has to be. 15 years is too long. It's been brutal. And I've been saying this, Dave, for a while, that a lot of times in all these years that they've missed the playoffs, when the year ends, I feel like everybody's got to go. There's just nothing here. Maybe DeMarcus is a keeper as far as an all-star talent, or maybe you can build something behind Rudy Gay or whoever along the line. Last year was the first year that I can remember that they didn't make the playoffs, but I went, man, I like De'Aaron Fox. Halliburton's going to be nice. Harrison Barnes is just the ultimate professional. I hope they keep Rashawn Holmes. And I'm just going down the line going, wait, this team was 10 games below 500. Why do I like so many of their players? Well, it turns out they kept almost – well, they didn't have a lot of guys that they had to worry about, but they kept Holmes, brought back some of the guys they traded for, and then adding Mitchell. And, Summer League's not the biggest deal, but they did win Summer League. They've been perfect so far in the preseason. But it's more of how they look. They look really good. What they're saying, their continuity – same coaching staff for the most part. I just think like they're ahead of where they've been the last couple of years. So I think that's giving them a boost. And then there's just so many teams that make it. I just can't picture them. Last year, a lot of what we talked about, the Raiders, they had 2 9-game losing streaks. That's just unheard of to have 2 of them. If they went 3-6 in both of those, which isn't good, they're in. So it was that fragile. They were that close last year. I think they've shored up a few things, and I'm going to say it. I think they do it. I think they make it in some form there, whether that's the play-in or even one of the top 6 seeds. I think they do it this year.
Finally, college football. You're the longtime voice of the Sacramento State Hornets. How do they break through and win for the first time ever in Missoula, Montana on Saturday?
We have had so many opportunities as broadcasters there to call games where I thought, this is it. This is the time. They're finally going to do it. There was a game we did years ago on TV. Montana was number 1 at the time. Hornets were up, I think, 20-0 at the half with Ricky Ray and Charles Roberts. It just felt like a good team. They're going to do it. And they lost. They had other games where they've lost in overtime there. They've had just so many heartbreaks. And then they've had times where they just didn't even belong. They got blown out completely. The irony is that they got a lot of stuff going on with Elijah Dotson, their two-time Big Sky first-team performer, preseason All-American. The last time the Hornets were up there, Dave, he ran wild. He had a monster first half, a big game overall, and has not had a great season, but we've only seen him four games. You called the game on Saturday as well. None of us saw him out there, and it's a little bit of a mystery, but as of now, it looks like he's not a part of the team, and he's so talented. I certainly think the team will miss him, but in the very short term, Saturday, I thought that was the best the Hornets had looked this year. I'd be curious what you saw, because to me, that was their best game.
Oh, without a doubt. The previous high point total was 30 in the Cal game, and they ran the ball so well on Saturday. Chris Richardson sent me a text saying they'd worked on some things during the bye week, cleaned up in a big way, and they were just crushing Southern Utah on the ground. In fact, if Dotson had played, I know he would have had a big game. He might have gone over 100 by himself.
Yeah, he would have broken that. He's just too good. I know it was bizarre that we're this far in the year and he doesn't have 100 yards total, because he can get 100 yards in a quarter. I mean, that's how good he is. But to see Parkinson run the ball well, Fulcher, and then still Asher O'Hara. And I know you're probably always checking, wait, which quarterback's in? Because, you know, the two quarterback system this far in, I know I don't always know which one's coming in. So, you know, the defense doesn't always know. And Troy Taylor said he's never done this, but he's this far in. I can't imagine him changing now. I think we're going to see the two quarterbacks the rest of the way.
Obviously, we've never seen anything like this. But in all your years with the team, had you seen them even use two quarterbacks on a regular basis?
Not this far. There was one before Garrett Saffron became kind of the legendary quarterback he became. They had Tommy Edwards there as well. And it was similar to Asher and Garrett, where Garrett was more of the runner and Tommy Edwards at the time could throw it. But that lasted for a couple of games. And then they gave the position to Garrett Saffron. And then he ended up having the next 3 years of the starting job. So never this far into the season, or if it was an injury circumstance in a game where they're just, hey, we got to throw something together. But I mean, this is 5 games in, and it's not only, hey, per quarter, per series, it's per series. I mean, it's a down and distance kind of thing with these guys.
The Hornets are picked 5th in the Big Sky this year. And when you look at the schedule, there's some of the heavyweights missing. There's no Weber State this year, no Eastern Washington, no Montana State. So if you can get a game like a Montana on the road or at UC Davis, there's a legitimate path to a conference championship.
Yeah, those are the two biggest games that they have left, right, as far as ranked teams. Now, the Big Sky, you know it. There's anybody can get you any week. We saw that last week with Davis getting stunned by Idaho State. But you could almost argue, would the Hornets be better off in the playoff picture if they stub their toe somewhere else, let's say a Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, but yet beat Davis or Montana? You kind of have that benchmark win that I think would give them attention. But the bottom line is, if they keep winning in the league, they'll get to the postseason, a place they want to get to. And as I see the season so far, I mean, they've played the 5 games. The only thing that really has them off schedule is that quirky, weird Northern Iowa game where they had the 6 turnovers. I had it half looking pretty good. And then, as Coach Taylor said, the worst quarter he's ever been a part of in his life. So that's kind of the outlier. If they didn't have that quarter, you know, their only loss would have been to Cal at this point.
As for that Cal game, the return to Berkeley for Troy Taylor, if you ask him on the record, off the record, he'll say, man, if we made just a few plays, we win that game.
Yes. So, you know, it's weird. It feels like they haven't been their best or the ultimate sharpest team. And, you know, Coach told me last week, which he made a really good point after the bye week, looking at everything. He said, you know, we're really moving the football well. We're throwing the ball well. We're just not scoring touchdowns. And when you looked at the stats going into last week's game, they were in the top 20 in passing, top 20 in scoring. And then last week, what did they do? They scored 5 touchdowns, and it makes a world of difference to get a season high 41 points. So it's there. It's there. It hasn't maybe been as explosive as 2 years ago, but they're still a really good football team.
Just a guess, but how many teams make it from the Big Sky this year?
I think as much as 5. That's probably a tad high, but I mean, I think what'll end up shaking out is, you know, it feels like the candidates are Sacramento State, UC Davis, Montana State, Eastern, and Weber. I mean, that's 6. What's the head-to-head going to look like, right? Obviously, this week, Sac State and Montana play. Sac State will play Davis later. Davis has a pretty favorable schedule, too. I think their toughest games left are Eastern and Sacramento State. What happens in the Montana-Montana State game? Does, you know, who else kind of gets an unexpected loss? I think there's a potential maybe for five. Six seems a bit high, but those are the six teams I think that are legitimate candidates.
You're pretty good at this. I think you've got a future. Jason Ross, Program Director, Sports, 1140 KHTK. You can follow him at Jason Ross, 1140. Any other way to follow you on social media?
On social media? No, I keep everybody. I try to block everybody. No, I mean, that's the best way on Twitter. I really more of a read Twitter, what other people. I like to follow people and see what they say. I mean, I think there's like everything in life, Dave, there's bad things that go on in social media, but the fun stuff, the funny clips, the good videos, the clever stuff where people are like, oh, yeah, you won Twitter for today. I like the amusement there. And then certainly the information. I think that's, you just get stuff in real time faster than anything else. So I'm more of a let's find out information than I think people follow me, get a bunch from me. But I just like to read what other people are saying.
Even though you don't participate all that much, it's really become kind of a prerequisite in the business, right? I mean, you have to at least be following the stuff if you're not actively posting.
Absolutely. I think that is a prerequisite. And you just find out other things, little quips, something fast. Honestly, if I wasn't doing this, I don't know that I would do it. I really don't. I think there's a lot of dangers to it, and just some fakeness or phoniness to it that I don't like, or a lot of people are very much, hey, look at me, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, let's live our lives. Let's enjoy that. Enjoy those moments with the people you're with. That's probably a bigger story and a bigger topic of, you know, how many times you've been out to dinner and you look at a table like, wow, all four people are on their phone. Like you're there to dinner together, have some fun, enjoy people. Maybe that's me, old man, get off my lawn type of stuff. But you're right, in the industry, it's a necessity to just to know what's going on with it.
I've told kids this too. You know, you're not seeing the best version of that person that's posting the picture. Their body is the best. Their hair is the best. They're on their best vacation. The car is the cleanest. So when I see that person, my message to myself is, hey, my life isn't as good as that one. And it's going to make me
right.
feel badly.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the intent, but you know, I don't know how many times I've seen people post, you know, things like, oh, this is my life best friend. And it's them and their significant other, their wife, their husband, their spouse, whoever it is. And I go, wait, they're going through troubles. And, you know, but then the post out there is, I wouldn't be anywhere without them. And, you know, I appreciate all that stuff. I don't want to tell anyone how to live their life, but you just go, man, just live it, live your life. I don't know that we always have to tell everybody that you're great and that what I'm doing is greater than what you're doing. It just feels a little bit of a look at me kind of stuff, but I do appreciate the pictures that people take. In some places I go, wow, look at that. That is amazing. But just, yeah, it's a little bit, I think, of false pretense behind it.
No need to pimp yourself. I'll do it for you. You're good at what you do.
Well, thank you. You are too. I'm glad we're doing Hornet stuff together. And, I hope we have a lot more games this year that you're calling, that I'm calling.
Jason Ross, afternoons 3 to 7, Sports 1140 KHTK. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Play, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. The positive comments and 5-star reviews are huge. We really appreciate it. Helps a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.